Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday.
Hey, BE community. Woo! Happy Saturday. How you doing?
It is great.
Yes, we still in Women's History Month.
Your lipstick is popping, girl.
I'm trying. I'm trying to be like you, girl. I'm trying to be like you. My lip gloss is popping. My lip gloss is cool. Okay, shout out to Lil Mama.
You look like you just got back from vacation.
I mean, I feel like it. I really do. Like, it's been a full week, but at the same time, I feel energized, and that is nothing but the grace of God, because life is still life and full speed ahead, but God's grace is definitely sufficient. So, amen and amen. So, how you doing, Toya?
Good. I'm making it. It's been a full week of, like, career stuff, job stuff, kids stuff. It's been a full week in the Moore household. Like, I am ready for spring break.
Countdown, girl. Countdown. It's coming.
Counting down.
It's coming. Hold on, girl. It's coming. Do y'all have any plans for spring break? Are y'all staying close to town?
Well, Ryan is going out of town.
Okay.
For his job.
Okay.
So I'm planning with the therapist that comes over mm-hmm. and helps the kids. We have like this seafood plan.
Okay.
So
tell
you
them,
know.
Look, okay, y'all gotta look, because this the thing. And Toya, know when we go out, we get some seafood too. But Toya, she's on a mission. When she going out without her husband, she gonna get some seafood. Why?
Because he's highly allergic to all seafood. That's my favorite thing to eat.
The things we won't do for love. Or the things we will do for love. That right there is love.
So, you know. The smells bother him. I can't cook it.
Yeah.
I normally have to buy it and eat it in our fish nook,
that is love too, because I was gonna bring up the fish nook. That is love. Shout out to Ryan for literally building her a fish nook, a place where she can
eat
cook and eat her fish without being around him, but it's at the house. It's connected to the house.
I know, so. But he'd still be looking at me crazy, like through the window.
He might want some fish.
Why are you looking at me while I'm eating?
You know, it's like when you eating something nobody else could eat, they're probably like, he probably salivating, like, I wish I could eat that, you know. But bless, shout out to Rhino for building you that. I think that is super dope.
So, it's on the calendar because the kid's therapist, she is really into cooking. She's a great cook. And so, yeah, she has some recipes and things that we're going to try, because she cooks with the kids as part of like therapy sessions. So it's been amazing. It's been such a blessing because, you know, my life is full.
Yeah.
And so being able to come down into the kitchen to mm-hmm. like a home cooked meal.
That's amazing.
And then got the kids cleaning up the kitchen, and I just get to sit down.
Get it, therapist.
And eat.
You get a gold star for real. You get a gold star. Like,
thank you, God. That's you know gift. What we needed in this season.
Yes.
It's wonderful. That's She's awesome. Amazing. I'm not going to disclose her name.
I'm not sharing her with anybody.
No. But she's amazing. She works with the kids on a lot of skills and cooking, cleaning, things like I wish I had more time to do. She has like more patience, I should say, because a lot of times when I'm trying to cook with my kids, like they're like a little skittish in the kitchen. They're like, "Ooh, that's hot." And you're like, it's like just go play, like, you know, I got it. I'm trying to get things done, like I'm on a mission.
Yeah,
but she can take her time and, you know, really work with them. So that's been amazing. And she's into healthy things, so she has a lot of juicing. They make homemade soda.
Yeah,
so we do a lot of that kind of stuff. So it's been amazing having her at the house.
Amen.
in-home therapy. I love it.
That's an answered prayer, for real.
Yes, like God knows what you need mm-hmm. in this season. Even though like we have struggles in this season, mm-hmm. we still see the ways that God is still providing. Yeah. Thank God for Medicaid, because you know we couldn't afford it without the Medicaid. Yeah. So all of that is just such a blessing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God.
Praise God. Because they hit me with this $7,000 bill, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh no! You're like, let me get my Medicaid card
back. Y'all got this. They put that Medicaid number in there.
I love it. So, back.
Y'all need, if you guys need to make sure that you use your resources. So you have to be savvy and know what resources are available for you. Because knowledge is power.
Amen. Amen.
And it's so very good. Needed in this season that we're in. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. Preach. Tell it. All right. Well, shall we dive on in?
Yes, let's dive on in.
Let's do it. So, y'all, we back with Woman to Woman Part 2. Back by popular demand, okay? You asked, we listened. So, this is Part 2 because clearly we only got through two subjects, two taboo topics for our first Woman to Woman Part 1. And so, Part 2, we're going to hit at least two more taboo topics, okay? So, let's start with women and health. Okay, how you feel about women and health? And there's so many different levels to this. So let's start with women and emotional / mental health. Okay. First of all, do you believe in therapy? Do you believe Christians Absolutely. Should go to therapy?
Absolutely.
But I mean, we got Jesus. So what are you saying, Toya? What are you saying?
Jesus is wonderful. Yes. Mm-hmm. But also I believe God has given us wisdom,
absolutely,
and resources and supports and villages mm-hmm. and practical things.
Yeah,
I think we cannot be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And I think Bishop Bronner used to say that. And so, yes, we can be all about Jesus, all about God, but we also have to be practical in our living.
Yeah.
And so I think utilizing therapy mm-hmm. and counseling, all of that is practical skills mm-hmm. to help you with your emotional well-being, Amen. Your mental health.
Amen.
I definitely believe in it. I've utilized it in various seasons, mm-hmm. Marriage counseling, personal counseling, mm-hmm. when I was going through postpartum depression, counseling for that, like you need help. We cannot do this life on our own.
Yeah.
And if there are people out there that can help you, you got insurance, mm-hmm. utilize it.
Amen.
And in some companies, like we have the employee assistance mm-hmm. programs.
AEP.
Yes, mm-hmm. where you or get EAP. Like mm-hmm. free sessions. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 6 a year. Don't leave any money on the table.
Please.
Use your sessions. Yeah. You can use it for marriage counseling. You can use it for personal counseling. It's there for you to use. So,
so good.
I believe in using them.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to counseling, getting therapy. I will say this. I do believe it's important to see someone that is a Christian, especially if you're really dealing with a lot of like trauma or you're dealing with a lot of heavy issues, because it's important to have someone that's going to reinforce healing, your healing and your restoration with the word of God. And oftentimes they could either, if they're not reinforcing you with the word of God, then they're steering you in different directions where they're talking about the universe or they're talking about crystals, or they're talking about sage or chakras or whatever. And it's like, I mean, yes, we can definitely receive from people that have different beliefs and have different things that they are, you know, recommending, but depending on what you're dealing with, you may not want that extra level of having to like basically parse through what they're saying, pick out what you're going to receive and then, you know, and then leave the rest. So sometimes if you're like, if you're in like a dire place and you're like, I really just need help. I really need, you know, really need to talk to someone in this area. And you don't necessarily feel like you have the capacity to kind of parse through and pick and choose what you're going to receive from a person, then I would recommend starting with a Christian counselor or a Christian therapist, just because it's always important to reinforce your healing and your restoration process with the Word of God. And then I also want to talk quickly too, and I think Kelly Cole mentioned this during our interview with him and his wife, where he was saying there's a difference between being saved and being delivered. Mm. And I just think that's so key, because we find ourselves going through emotional patterns and not necessarily knowing or understanding why we're going through those patterns. And it could be literally because of some type of trauma we dealt with as a child that we never addressed, you know, or it may have been something someone said to us, you know, as a child that we, a lie basically that we find ourselves believing, you know. I know my church has a class called Forward that really focuses on emotional healing and really identifying those inner vows, they call them, that we may have made with ourselves inadvertently without even realizing it, saying, I'll never do this or I'll always be like this. And it plays itself out in our life and in our relationships, and we're trying to figure out why. So I would definitely make sure that you are employing that aspect and really tapping into that resource as a child of God. Like, God does not want us to walk through this life, you know, bound by, you know, whatever we may have experienced as a child or our traumas or what have you. Like, he wants us to be healed totally and fully and completely. So I highly recommend that a Christian therapist for that reason as well, you know, or Christian counseling for that reason as well, or taking a class like Forward. I know there are plenty of other churches that have things like that. Celebrate Recovery is another great example of a Christian resource that really focuses on deliverance. And then I'll also give a shout out to a church in Thomason, Georgia. They have a program. It's a book called A More Excellent Way, Be in Health. But they have conferences as well, For Your Life, For Their Life, that really deal with like deliverance. And I mean, I'm not trying to, I don't want to sound spooky. I don't want to sound like, you know, like super head in the clouds, but like that is real as well. Like really focusing on your own emotional and mental and spiritual, honestly, deliverance, because it can be, it's oftentimes a lot bigger than, okay, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, but not necessarily having the tools or being equipped with the tools to really break those strongholds. Like, strongholds are real. Okay. And I don't want anyone to feel like they don't necessarily know how to battle them. So I would definitely recommend that. Those are they're amazing resources out there. So anything you want to add for mental or emotional health?
I think we covered all the mental and emotional health. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on physical health?
A lot. I mean, and it's funny because, of course, again, this is Women's History Month, and my job had an amazing workshop on women and health, and they were talking about physical health, because there are a lot of things that either we don't know or we don't consistently do when it comes to our health, especially as women. Like, women's wellness visits are important. Mm-hmm. And when I say women's wellness visits, I mean, are you getting your pap smears? You know, are you getting your mammograms? Are you talking to someone if you're dealing with fibroids or infertility? Like, those, I feel like, are topics or subjects that we don't always feel at liberty to talk with someone about, even a health professional, you know. And in some cases, it's like, okay, well, I just don't feel comfortable, or I'm not too keen on my doctor. Okay, then find a new one. Find somebody that you feel comfortable with, because these are important conversations to be having. You know, if you're having heavy cycles and you don't necessarily know why, you definitely need to get checked out on that. If you're trying to get pregnant and you haven't been successful, there are resources, there are tests that you can take to figure that out, to understand that. I didn't know, and I think, gosh, I am sad to admit this, but I was like a full-grown middle-aged adult when I realized, oh, the number of eggs that you have in your ovaries is the number of eggs that you have the rest of your life. Like, that to me, I'm like, oh my gosh. And so there are women, you know, who may still be single, may still be, you know, trusting God and believing God for their husband in their middle age. They're in their 30s, they're in their 40s, they're in their 50s. And they're like, I still want to have children. You know, should you freeze your eggs? Should you, you know, like those are real conversations to have first and foremost with a health professional, but then also, you know, there should be safe spaces for you to at least get the information, the knowledge, information about it, always pray about it, always seek godly counsel about it, but at least know what your options are. You get what I'm saying? Because it's so important, and you don't want to get to a stage or season in your life when you can't do anything about it, at least scientifically. Of course, God can do miracles. We trust and believe, and we've seen God do miracles all the time, but at the same time, knowledge is power. So really knowing what your options are, I think is super, super key across all those levels.
And I've heard Christian women kind of debate that topic on the freezing of the eggs,
IVF,
and am I playing God if I'm deciding
these things? What are your thoughts?
Very similar to you, because I've had this conversation with some of my fellow sisters in Christ on the IVF. And I think medically it is important for some women to do that because of different medical reasons. Like, you don't know everyone's situation. I've had the conversation with people that are getting older in age, and they're like, this dating market is not looking very great right now. And with each passing day, passing month, I'm losing eggs. There's no prospects. So what do I do? Because our biological clocks are ticking. And so I think it's wise, if that is something that you want to do, to freeze your eggs, especially depending on like the season of life you're in, your age. There's a lot of different factors to consider, especially if you know like you want to have children one day, and if prospects are looking slim, like you have to pray and determine if that is the right choice between you and God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I would definitely say, number one, do your research, have the conversations, like do all the things so that you are educated on the situation. Number two, pray about it, you know, really seek the Lord about it and see, okay, God, is this an area that you, or a path that you want me to pursue? Is this something that you want me to, you know, look into and really get confirmation from God on it? I don't think there's anything wrong with IVF or freezing your eggs one way or the other. But of course, that really decision is between you and the Lord. And then of course, if you're married, it's between you, your partner, and the Lord. So really making sure that you're on the same page and that you're getting confirmation from God. And then, you know, go down that path. And here's the reality. Here's the reality. There are plenty of people that have gone through IVF, that have frozen their eggs and still not been able to successfully conceive, you know? So, mean, there are a myriad of circumstances and situations that can go on, you know, when you go down that path. But that's all the more reason to make sure that you're clear with God, like, hey, this is something you want me to pursue, and you're still trusting him with the outcome. You get what I'm saying? That goes back to the whole, am I playing God? Either way, whether you're using the help of medicine and science or not, it's still God who determines whether or not you're going to bring a child physically into this world or not, like for real. So,
and I know the other question that they battle with is, well, what do you do with the other egg? Like, let's just say you use one. You have that kid. You determine what life is like with a kid. You're like, I don't know if I want to have anymore. Like, what do you do with it?
Can't you donate your eggs sell them?
I think you can.
I know you can donate your eggs, but like as far as like a fertilized embryo, I think you can donate or sell those as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know how it would feel though, having a fertilized
I don't know how I would feel about that either.
Out there,
but I don't want to destroy it.
That's your biological,
but I don't want to destroy it either. I feel like to me that would be like having an abortion. Like, I don't know if I, you know what I'm
saying? What do you do?
Yeah, Oof. It's real. It's a lot of things to consider. But again, have the conversations, mm-hmm. do the research and pray about it, because I feel like these topics, either number one, we don't know enough. And number two, we're afraid to have the conversation. So mm-hmm. I'm like, do both. Like, do your research, ask the questions, get the information, and have the conversations with people, you know. And I get it, you know, there are a myriad of reasons why people may or may not share their journey to parenthood. You know, it's definitely a sensitive subject. I get it. I know that firsthand. But at the same time, if there's someone that has gone down a similar path, maybe have the conversation with them. But definitely have the conversation with your doctors. Definitely. So, yeah.
For sure.
Anything else on women and health?
I think we covered all the main basics.
All right. Well, you know, let's move into money. Let's talk about it. Money, money, money. Okay, so y'all know, women, we out here getting it. We out here doing it. We out here getting the bag, earning the coins, all of it, okay? So let's talk about, how do we deal with that? Are you okay with potentially making more money than your spouse or someone that you're dating? I know for some women, it's like, I want to be taken care of, or, you know, I need somebody that's just as successful. And they define success as them making as much, if not more money than them. So what are your thoughts on women more money than men?
I think it's totally okay to make more money mm-hmm. than your spouse, as long as mm-hmm. you have the spiritual structure mm-hmm. Correct in your household. I know of people that make six figures mm-hmm. and they want their spouse to also six figures or more mm-hmm. and I think it's that part is like maybe a personal preference mm-hmm. But for me, I don't see anything wrong with mm-hmm. making more than your spouse because two are one, so it's mm-hmm. collectively your money anyway, so it's not you need to be bringing six figures and I got six figures.
That's real. And I mean, I get it. Everybody has their preferences. Everybody has a certain lifestyle that they're used to. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are real conversations to have with your spouse. I will say for us, number one, I have definitely learned that regardless of how much money is coming into our household, you know, it's our job to be excellent stewards of it. And I have found that the more we focus on being excellent stewards over whatever resources come into our house and being on one accord regarding those resources, the more God blesses us with. And so for me, that's really been the issue, making sure we're on one accord. And like you were saying, you're one. So regardless of who's making what, that money is coming into one household to cover bills, feed your family, all of that. And so making sure that you're on the same page about, you know, where this money is going, what's being done with this money, regardless of who's making it. But that brings me to an interesting question, because I know, and we struggled with this when we first got married, as far as like joint accounts, mm-hmm. like it's really hard, like literally the two becoming one, like that's really hard. What does that look like? And there are a lot of different, you know, thoughts and responses on that. But what are your thoughts on joint accounts when you're married?
So originally when we first got married, I was for joint accounts. Mm-hmm. And so we did have a joint account mm-hmm. when we first got married. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan listened to advice from someone else. Mm-hmm. And was like, maybe we should do a joint account and have separate accounts. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up changing this. Yeah. So now we have like joint account as well as separate accounts, but it's all under the same umbrella mm-hmm. Where we can see each other's account. So
that way,
if we want to, like, I don't know, go get a burger or lunch or something, we're not like checking with each other on the budget. Like, you have like mm-hmm. your account that you can spend money out of, and then when we're buying gifts for each other mm-hmm. like we have those accounts separate, but mm-hmm. we also have a joint account.
So. Yeah, that's kind of where our allowances go. Like, we have a monthly allowance for each other, and so that goes to our separate accounts. Our joint account is what all of our bills are paid out of. We have a joint savings account. We have a joint business account, but we do have separate accounts as well. But again, we either have visibility to our individual or separate accounts, or know how to access it. And then I also will highly recommend making sure that your spouse is the beneficiary. Like, if their name is not already on the account, like, mm-hmm. I think those are super important. And, you know, like I said, if their name isn't on it, they should have visibility to it, or they should be able to see it, you know, or access it. So let's talk about the stash now. Let's talk about the stash. Cause I know plenty of women that have been told, and it could even been by a mom, a grandma, an aunt, that said, girl, make sure you have your stash. And I mean, you're hearing this from your mom, you're hearing this from your grandmother, your aunt. So you're thinking, okay, I really need to do this. So what are your thoughts on women having a secret stash?
If you got a secret stash, like that movie, The Family That Prays, with the $80,000 stash, you wrong for that.
Okay.
You don't have that kind of money without letting your husband know.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
And I feel like, honestly, you know, I think a lot of women have been taught to kind of have an escape plan in place. And I feel like having an escape plan in place is pretty much the same as like having a prenup, honestly, where I'm like, if you are planning to get divorced or preparing to get divorced, then it's inevitable. Like, if you take divorce off the table, where it's like, we in it. Once we're in it, we're in it. Then it's like, okay, well, what do we need a prenup for? Or what do I need a stash for? Does it make it challenging? Absolutely. But marriage is challenging. You just got to work through it and figure it out. I'm not saying don't have your separate account, but I'm saying your husband should know about your separate account. Your husband should be able to access your second account, you know, or be a benefit and be a beneficiary on your second account. Like, it shouldn't be a, oh my gosh, I didn't know you had all this loot over here. And it's just, your just in case money. Like, okay, do you really need to be married if you have just in case money? Like, for real. I'm just saying. So, yes. Money. Anything else on women and money?
I really wish I would have learned about budgeting and saving money a little bit more as a child.
Yeah.
I feel like I learned about budgeting and savings as an adult mm-hmm. when I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I was out here in Atlanta on my own. You're going to sink or swim.
Yeah.
You're going to eat or starve. You're going to figure it out.
Yes.
Don't spend all your money. So I feel like I wish I would have learned about budgeting and saving as a kid. And so I'm making steps to ensure that our children have an understanding. Like, they are struggling with coins and like cash and like understanding like the difference between like a dime, penny, quarter. Like, I'm like, man, is this becoming obsolete because we use so much like credit cards and cash apps and tap this. I'm like, tap. That's a new one. I haven't even tried the tap thing. I'm so far behind. But there's so many like electronic ways and digital ways for payments. Absolutely. And so I feel like you got to train your kids on like all of these like savvy ways of how to exchange money.
Yeah.
And it's not cash, and like a lot of times when you want to pay something in cash, people looking at you crazy. We were at the movies, I think, and I was pulling out cash, and the lady was like, oh, you got cash? You gotta go to this other register over here. This is a non-cash register. It's like, okay,
on you for cash.
Let me pull out my card.
That's
crazy. I don't want us to lose that skill of knowing how to count money.
Well, yeah, you need to count your money, whether it's digital or you got the paper. You need to know how to balance your checkbook. Like, for real. Yes. Like, you need to be able to look at your expenses, because that is the danger of everything being automated, is stuff is being taken out of your account. And if you're not reviewing your account consistently, then, you know, you got old subscriptions, or you could have, you know, you thought you canceled, but you didn't, or you signed up for this trial and it started out free and then they, you know, started charging you. Like, you need to make sure you're reviewing your stuff, because that's really what businesses want. They want you to forget about mm-hmm. how much you're spending. So, and give them access, repeat access, because mm-hmm. subscriptions are it, y'all. Repeat access to your money, so they could just take and take and take.
And you don't even notice.
Yeah. Oh, and that this month we're going up. Our fee goes up. So we're going to continue to take and take and take. And now it's more than what you originally signed up for. So
don't play me, though. Sure. I'll be putting those notifications and reminders on my on my phone calendar. Yes. Reminder.
Yes.
Cancel this subscription.
I do that too. And you know what, Toya, though, here's the deal. What you can do, most places will let you cancel as soon as you sign up, and then you'll still get your time. So like, if you, the first month is free or whatever, I may sign up and cancel that same day, and they'll be like, okay, well, you still have access until this date. Mm-hmm. But yeah, remind yourself whatever mm-hmm. you need to do, because once that trial period is over, guess what? They're gone. Start racking up the charges. So that's a really good point. Really good point. But I do too. I wish that I knew more at a younger age, at an earlier age, about budgeting and saving. Like, those are two big things, like, that I had to learn the hard way about, honestly. And then I will also say investing. I feel like investing for me was very intimidating at first. And so really, and in some cases still can be, but like, really having more education on that, like those life skills that you were talking about, you know, whether it's cooking, cleaning, budgeting, saving, like, I definitely believe like our children need to be taught those skills. The earlier, the better. And here's the deal, especially on the money tip, when they're learning about spending and saving and budgeting and investing, then they treat your money more important. They mm-hmm. they care, you know what I mean? Like, they're not just expecting, oh, mommy, give me this, daddy, give me that. Like, they're really starting to see, like, okay, things cost money. Mm-hmm. And especially if they have to put a little skin in the game. Yeah. Like, okay, if you want it, you pay for it, or you contribute toward it. Then they really start to think, do I really want this? Do I really need uh-huh. this? So
yeah, I've been important. Making them pull out that birthday money.
All right.
Wow. Pull out your birthday money.
Wow.
Oh, you want Kona Ice?
Well,
$4? And everybody wants Kona. Well, how much money is that? Okay, so that's $12 for three kids, because Mason, you know, he don't be getting the Kona Ice. So, you know, I be breaking it down, like, go get your birthday money.
I mean,
and then for the next thing, they're like, oh, I want to buy this. Do you have birthday money? Oh, you spent all of it. Yeah. Like, you gotta.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's real in the streets. It's very real
in the
streets.
And they be charging $4 for Kona Ice.
Everything goes up. Everything. Inflation is real.
I said, what? So y'all can wait till you get home, and we can give you some scoops of ice cream.
Look, get started. And you look, you super creative. I'm like, we can make our own ice cream.
Correct.
But a fraction of the price.
Right. So,
yeah. Very important. Anything else on women and money?
I think we covered it.
Okay. Shall we touch on women and relationships?
Whoop. Ooh, women and relationships. Yes.
And I mean, I know we talk a lot about, like we talked about in Woman to Woman Part 1, we talked about women and sex, and I think we got into dating. And mm-hmm. so if anything comes up regarding, you know, dating or marriage, great. But really, I'm thinking more so about like friendships, because I feel like we go through different stages and different seasons with our friends, and we don't necessarily talk about it, or we don't necessarily talk about how to cultivate healthy mm-hmm. friendships and relationships. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, there's a rumor about women. Okay, women are catty. So I don't have a lot of female friends, or, you know what I'm saying? So what are your thoughts on women and friendships? Like,
ooh, well, there was a point mm-hmm. in my life where I kind of avoided having friendships with women because they were catty. Mm-hmm. I did not have girls that were friends until high school when I was playing sports.
Okay.
But then when I moved away and everybody, you know, mm-hmm. dispersed around the United States, like we mm-hmm. kind of fell out of touch. And so in college was the first time I had like a lot of black girlfriends.
Got it.
But then that turned ugly. Mm-hmm. There was like a lot of jealousy mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just some backstabbing and like malicious things. Yeah. And so after that, I was like, bump this. I don't want any girlfriends. Like, it was just like one friend that I had in college mm-hmm. after like the whole like mm-hmm. incident with the girls being jealous and catty. Oh, wow. And I was like, I'm just gonna kick it with boys, which mm-hmm. is kind of related to, I feel like, how I started kind of like dating a lot of different mm-hmm. guys mm-hmm. because to me I was like, oh, you know, that's my homeboy, like we're just kicking it, we put mm-hmm. like, but in their mind, you know, they were hoping for something more. And so, you know, we would hang out, we would go to movies, dinner, and then maybe I would hang out with a different boy, mm-hmm. which wasn't like totally healthy, but I feel like I was able to kind of educate myself mm-hmm. on the male species.
Yeah.
Because they are different, they're very different. And I can appreciate them because they're simple, mm-hmm. As opposed to women. I did not start having like girlfriends again until I got rooted in my church at mm-hmm. Word of Faith is mm-hmm. when I started finding Christian mm-hmm. women who were really Christian women and really, really seeking the face of God. And I feel like that was super helpful for me for like accountability and Bible study and like just really developing my walk with Christ because I was surrounded by others who were like-minded. So I think that's really important. And then once I got married, I was able to get more friends that were black women mm-hmm. and different shades mm-hmm. and more diversity of mm-hmm. my friendships. Which has been a blessing because, you know, once you get married, like you become connected to your spouse's friends mm-hmm. and the people that he surrounds himself with. So mm-hmm. we were bound to be friends. Like,
yeah, no choice.
You had no choice.
As much time as our husbands spend together, I always tell Chris, I'm like, your second job is track stars because it's, they live, breathe, eat, sleep track stars, like for real.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
So you had no choice
but to be
my friend.
Well, I felt that way, but you were still looking at me cross-eyed at the beginning.
We talked about water under the bridge. And look at us now. We're co-hosting together, a podcast.
Which is crazy. I would have never. The Lord is, the Lord.
It's amazing. He's amazing because I was like, I don't know about these girls you're friends with. They looking at me crazy, like this woman
girl
was
trying to figure this girl out for real. So, but
everybody was
up. The Lord he has done a work. He has. So let me ask you, do you think it's important for other women to have friends that are female?
I absolutely think it is mm-hmm. important. And if you don't have friends, I think you should definitely show yourself friendly mm-hmm. and get in places of like-minded believers and kind of start building friendships that way. That's kind of how I started with my friends that I met like through my church. Mm-hmm. I started getting involved with things like going to little hangouts and Bible studies and dinners and movies and stuff with like girlfriends. Yeah. And so I think, and then I would invite them over. Mm-hmm. We would cook together mm-hmm. and have sleepovers together. Mm-hmm. Like as grown as we were, we would have sleepovers and popcorn movies and we would sleep in the bed together. Like we had so much fun. Like I miss those single times and the single days of like just hanging out with my girlfriends. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I enjoy being married too, but I had a lot of fun cultivating those friendships. Yeah. And then we're still friends to this day, and we still support each other in these different seasons because life is a challenge. Mm-hmm. And being there to support each other in different seasons, like, whew, you need that support. You need that really listening ear. You need words of wisdom. You pour into each other.
Yes.
Depending on different seasons.
Absolutely.
Like, you need people. You cannot do this life by yourself. Even when you get married, like, you're going to want to chat it up with your girlfriends. Mm-hmm. You cannot vent and talk about everything with your spouse.
Yeah.
You need somebody that you can just, like, just be you.
Absolutely.
Just be LaToya. Let me just like let my hair down and vent about like, I'm not saying I vent about my husband all the time, just but life, you know, period. Just life in general. Like, you just need to be able to do that, and you need to do it in a safe place
where you don't have any roles or responsibilities apart from just being, you know, a friend. But like, you're not concerned about being somebody's wife. You're not concerned about being somebody's mom. You're not concerned about being somebody's employee or somebody's boss or somebody, you know, like, literally you could just be you, you know. And I will say, I know I've definitely gone through different seasons of friendships. I definitely value the female friendships that I have for that very reason. It definitely looks different in marriage, but it's just as important in marriage. And so really making sure that you're having those seasons and those friends. Over the years, I found my circle of female friends to have gotten smaller and smaller for a myriad of reasons. I mean, you know, you go through different seasons in life, but then also too, you know, I have found that in my earlier years and as a young adult, I had a lot of associates, but I didn't have, and I was, you know, kind of like on the social media, you have a huge number of friends, but how many of those people do you really talk to? How many of those people do you really keep in touch with? And so for me, over the last decade, I would say, you know, God has really pruned my circle with people that genuinely care about me as much as I genuinely care about them, where it's reciprocal, where I know that, you know, we consistently check in on one another, you know, whether it's been a long amount of time or a short amount of time, we can pick up where we left off. You know, I can completely be myself with them. They can be their complete self with me. And so I value those relationships, especially because honestly, they've become more few and far between. So I will ask you this, going back to the caddy piece and what you were talking about where, you know, women comparing themselves to each other or competing with one another, how do you either personally avoid that or avoid people that compete and compare?
I feel like it's hard to avoid in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I see that all the time
where
they're competing and comparing with me. And I,
honey,
we don't have time for that. We are, we have a mission, a vision that we're working towards. Like, why are you competing with me? I don't really care. Like, why? We don't have space and time for that. And so when I see that show up in people, I am very guarded of my heart, of my mind, and my peace. And so I will avoid having any conversations with you outside of work or outside of business. Like, we can talk business, that's fine. But after that, that's it. I'm not trying to have lunch with you. I'm not trying to talk about your kids. I like, that's it. Like, once I see it, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be vulnerable with you. We're not going to have real conversations. Like, I get that. Like, no. Some people just can't handle it. Like, your light or your talent or how gifted you are. And like, that's their own insecurities. And like, I over the years, I have learned to not, like, when I see that in people, like, I just kind of avoid them and just, like, move on from them because they've got their own stuff that they need to work through. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to let their energy pull me down because they're intimidated by me or whatever, because God's going to get the glory and I'm still going to be me and I'm going to still shine or whatever. I can't help it.
Yeah. Amen.
I can't help it. Yeah. And I used to try to, I want to say, kind of silence it or dim my light for others and not be who I am. Oh, and so I don't do that anymore. Yeah. And I feel like that's something that I struggled with, even in school, like very gifted, like academically, like I, you know, like I wouldn't talk in class. Yeah. I didn't want people to know that I knew the answer. Oh, like I just would make my 100s or my A's or whatever. And just not really boast about it. But then when the teachers would be like, oh, like Latoya, you know, like, oh my gosh. Like, and so I dealt with that like my entire life. But now I've learned to just, here I am.
I love that perspective because it's interesting because I was the, you know, the smart, the ambitious, the talented, the gifted or whatever kid growing up. But I was insecure. I dealt with insecurity, you know, and I really struggled to where it became like my accolades or my success almost became a way of me to get people's approval. And so it's so interesting to hear like same outcome, but just different perspectives where you're trying to dim your light and not get, you know, attention or whatever. But I was like doing all the things, not necessarily to get attention, but to get approval because that's where I felt like how I would get my acceptance or how I would get, you know, be in or cool or popular or whatever. Do you get what I mean? So that's so interesting. So I will say for anyone that is dealing with or has dealt with insecurity, I know for me, and this may sound like super elementary, but I feel like in, for me in college, I really started to like get my swag, if you will, and really start to get my confidence, my authentic confidence, not I'm on a stage presenting confidence, because people could look at me my whole life and feel like, oh, she's confident, but it was from a place of insecurity. But like really feeling confident about who I was in Christ happened for me in college. And one of my favorite scriptures, I remember reading Psalm 139 about being fearfully and wonderfully made, but just that whole passage, one of my life scriptures is, I believe it's Psalm 139, 5, but it says, you hem me in behind and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. But just really knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is with me, number one, and that God made me unique and he made me for a purpose, a specific purpose. And so when I was, when I learned that and I was able to hone in on that, like you were saying earlier, you don't get, you, it's harder for you to get caught up in what other people are doing around you because you're focused on what God has for you. And so I would say first and foremost, know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you are in Christ. And if it means memorizing that scripture that I just said, or memorizing another scripture of your own, verbally reciting it to yourself, putting it on a wall, putting it on your mirror, because you yourself, that needs to be a personal revelation, not just something somebody told you. But when you become rooted in that, it shifts your whole mindset, your whole perspective. And when you start going after whatever it is that God has called you to do, then you honestly become so consumed with that, that you don't have time, let alone the desire to really look around you and say, oh, so-and-so's doing this, or oh, so-and-so's doing that, you know? And then I will say another practical piece is I really limit my time on social media. I really, really do, because there are times where I could go down rabbit holes and of course get caught up in somebody's highlight reel and start comparing it to my everyday life. And so really just being a mindful of what you're exposing yourself to, how often you're exposing yourself to certain things or people or what have you, and just making sure you are staying rooted and grounded personally. Because if you're rooted and grounded personally, then it shouldn't move you what's going on around you. So I definitely want to share that. But I know we're almost at time, but is there anything else you want to share regarding women and relationships?
I think we covered it all.
All right. Cool.
And we want to hear from you guys. So be sure to put your comments in our chats.
Please
DM us. Let us know what you want to hear from us. So we want to hear from you guys. Don't forget to get your merch at becomingevatoday.com.
Yeah.
Your mugs. You see, Maya's got her jacket
it
on.
It says Becoming Eva on the sleeve if you can't see it. But yes, one of the dope things I love about our merch. So yes,
your get slides, your all totes, the good stuff. Water bottles, all the things. And we are trying to increase our YouTube channel of followers and subscribers. Yes. So if you're listening to this or watching this on Facebook, please join us on our YouTube channel and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Becoming Eva Today. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.